compelling insights, unpredictable conversations, encouragement for your day. It's the Patrick Madrid Show on Relevant Radio.
A very warm welcome to the Patrick Madrid Show. It's Father Matthew Spencer back with you again. Thanks, Patrick, for this opportunity to be with your listeners. Friends, Patrick Madrid is just taking some time off to be with his family during this Thanksgiving week. I'm so happy he can do that. And I hope that you will also have the opportunity to do that. Yesterday was a sad day as we prayed for that tragedy in Waukesha. Last I saw, the death count was stayed at 5, thanks be to God, and still 40 people injured. Now there is a suspect in custody that, yeah, true to the rumors that we had heard yesterday morning, he apparently was fleeing from another incident. It's just terrible all around, and especially as I'm hearing more of the stories of the individuals who died, those who are injured. This world is so hard to live in, isn't it? It's so hard. 888-914-9149 is the number to call. Let's encourage each other. 888-914-9149. Yesterday we were going to get to all of the crime spree happening around the Bay Area in California. So San Francisco and its surrounding regions is a very large area. Lots of people, lots of commerce. And over the weekend, there were, let's back up one moment here. We have some audio to share with you. But even before we get to the events of this past weekend, I was thinking about a trip I recently made to Bakersfield, California. I was visiting some priest friends of mine. I was visiting them to encourage them, to discuss some projects with them. And this parish is in a kind of a rough part of town. I have a car that's not that great. I mean, it's probably 14 or 15 years old. I should say, actually, it's fine. It's not anything that people would steal or put their eyes on. I park outside of the rectory there at Our Lady of Guadalupe Church in Bakersfield. I go inside of the kitchen to say hello to the priest there, and they say, "Oh, did you leave your car on the street? That's not a good idea because people are going to come by and steal your catalytic converter." And you know this is happening. I mean, Patrick's talked about it. The rash of theft, even in the most basic ways. A skilled person with the right tools could probably come up and cut your catalytic converter off of your vehicle in 30 seconds, 45 seconds. Before you can even step out of the door, they would have this item from your car, which then they can sell on the black market for a few hundred dollars. What is driving people to do this besides, of course, original sin? Anyway, I had this experience there a couple of weeks ago. And I moved my car. My catalytic converter never got stolen. But it just made me aware that this is a problem all around the country. Well, this weekend, we saw it escalate. You've seen videos probably of people walking into big box stores, grabbing expensive items, say tools, televisions, things like this, and put them on a cart and just walk out and walk as quickly as they can to a waiting vehicle, put these items in, and nobody can chase them, nobody can stop them. Big box stores are worried about liability, and so they just say, just let them go. And it's so strange, the world we live in. People so brazen in their theft. Well, we saw this in a very dramatic way over the weekend. Let's turn to, I don't even remember now, Cyrus, the affiliate that we had. I think it was CBS. Anyway, we have a story from yesterday morning about the events over the weekend.
Rash of looting incidents. They happened in at least 5 cities over the weekend. one of the targets, San Francisco's Union Square. That's where ABC 7 News reporter Amy Holyfield is live with reaction from businesses. Amy?
Hi, good morning, Kristen. You know, police shut down streets of Union Square this weekend. They said they needed to do it to be safe, but they reopened them at 6 o'clock this morning. That surprised us, but we do still see some officers here. The people who work here tell us it's not the daytime hours they worry about. The trouble happens when the sun goes down. Union Square looks welcoming and festive this morning, but there is still evidence that something happened here. Louis Vuitton is still boarded up and closed. Police have a presence here. This is what the Monday after a looting spree looks like. Workers here know what happened and feel nervous it could happen again.
A little bit scared. I'm a security guard, so it just makes it a little bit worse, you know? So just got to be a little bit more safe now because of that.
There are videos that I saw of just mobs of people running into a store, looting it, grabbing things and taking them out to vehicles waiting for them. It's this coordinated effort. Walgreens mentioned that their San Francisco store has a level of theft 5 times the national average, even before the thefts this weekend. To me, it's disturbing because here's the world we live in. We want to live in a world of laws, a rule of justice, a world of order, and yet here we are struggling with fallen human nature, struggling with people who are falling into sin, theft. Yesterday, Cyrus, you and I were talking about all the money spilling on the highway and how people just stop their cars and pick up the money and try to run. And wow, this world we live in, I guess it's just, I don't know, it's just going down the tubes. It feels, I'm sorry, Cyrus, I don't mean to start off on this negative. I'm a positive guy, yeah,
where's
Cyrus.
Where's that positive, Father Spencer? I know so well.
Yeah. I think I'm just looking towards Thanksgiving. Well, I got to be thankful, but come on, you know, what's going on in the world? No, I'm positive. It's mostly just, it boggles my mind. It makes me wonder what's happening in the world. 888-914-9149 is the number to call. Raquel's calling from Salinas, California. Raquel, so happy to have you on the Patrick Madrid Show. What's on your mind this morning?
Good morning, Father. Thank you. What I need are a couple of book titles, Father. I would like to begin some reading of St. Augustine's writings, and I don't know where to start. Are you able to recommend a title?
Well, I mean, to be honest, the place I would start, Raquel, is with his own writings, his own books. So, and they're actually pretty accessible, at least if you start in the right spot, Raquel. So probably one of my, you know, top 10 books in the Christian world is The Confessions by St. Augustine. This is his autobiography, and it's so powerful. He documents his move from being a Manichaean, from being opposed to Christianity, from having a very different worldview to actually falling in love with the Lord, discovering a love for Jesus Christ and discovering his faith in him. And it's so moving, I think, Raquel, because even after now, what is it, 1700 years, there's so much that you and I can identify with. There's so much that you and I can see in his life that also is present in our lives. And then he has a very good book called The City of God, which is his understanding of how the church operates in the world and how the Lord is working inside of the world and how Christians can live and respond in the world. A little more theological, but still pretty accessible. Have you by any chance, Raquel, read any of St. Augustine's own writings?
I haven't, Father. I when I pray the Divine Office occasionally, in fact, today's Divine Office for the morning, I think there was an excerpt from some of his writing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that was going to be the next thing I was going to say is what I love about the Office of Readings, which is, Raquel, let me just explain that for our listeners here that might not be familiar with it. The Office of Readings is a daily discipline of prayer. It's part of the liturgy of the hours that priests and religious around the world will pray. And the four-volume set has readings from the church fathers, readings from the saints, readings from Christian scholars, and from the documents of the church that are so broad and help us get our feet wet anyway in their writings. And you're right, the writings of Saint Augustine pop up frequently because he was such a prolific writer and such an insightful writer. And that's also, Raquel, a very good way to get to know him. But in my opinion, the best way is to read his own, from his own pen, his own experience in life. And the best place to start is his confessions.
I'll do that, Father. And one last title, Father. I would like to purchase a good copy of Book of the Saints. I don't have any in my library at all.
Yeah, well, my favorite is a little dated one, but there's the four-volume Butler's Lives of the Saints. What I love about it is it was published in the last century, but hasn't been updated to my knowledge with many of the recent saints. For example, the saints that John Paul II canonized. What's great about Butler's Lives of the Saints is it's so broad. There's so many saints to ponder. And he provides brief biographies of all of those saints. So for every day, you can open it up and be encouraged and inspired by the lives of certain saints that way. That's a good place to start. But it's also pretty cursory. You know, you're not going to get deep into the lives of the saints. And so for that, I would say finding saints that speak to you, that have a particular connection to your life, and then reading their writings or reading about them in a deeper way. I think, Raquel, from my experience, that's more helpful than knowing about a lot of saints, is knowing deeply about fewer saints, if that makes sense. I think it's helpful because we get to see the richness of the person, their own experience, and then and understand better how their lives can influence ours.
Thank you for that recommendation, Father. And just one last question. Would this Butler's Lives of the Saints, would it be in print? Do you know?
Yeah, that's a good question. As soon as I recommended it, I started scratching my head, wondering because I
go to Amazon, I guess.
I would try that. As you're probably aware, as a priest and as a religious, when I go from house to house or parish to parish, we have existing libraries. It's one of the blessings. I don't carry a trailer of books with me because just own a few books of my own. But we share our books in common, and most of our libraries have copies of Butler's Lives of the Saints. I suspect, Raquel, you should be able to find it, even if it's not in print.
I'm seeing it on Amazon for under $18. Oh. But before you order it from Amazon, definitely check with your local Catholic bookstore.
Yeah, absolutely. Well,
unfortunately, we don't have one here in Salinas.
Yeah. Well, you could look around, Raquel. In fact, I know the area well there. There's a bookstore in Santa Cruz called Agnus Dei and other ones nearby where you are. So. Mm-hmm. Okay. Thanks a lot, Raquel. Okay. God bless you.
Thank you so much. Happy Thanksgiving, okay. Father, to you and your family.
Oh, thank you. A very happy Thanksgiving to you too, Raquel. 888-914-9149 is the number to call. You're listening to the Patrick Madrid Show. It's Father Matthew sitting in for Patrick. We're going to go to Cecilia calling from San Antonio, Texas. Hi, Cecilia. How are you?
Good. Hi. I was calling because I just finished doing a novena, and what do you do after you're done praying a novena? Do you continue praying the same prayer? Because I add the prayers onto my rosary and Divine Mercy, and I know novenas are like a little boost for it. So what exactly are you supposed to do? Do you not pray about it anymore? Do you not think about it? I don't know what to do after that.
You forget about it completely. No, no.
Yeah, just give it to the saints.
Well, the beauty, I think, Cecilia, about a novena is it's some intense prayer for a very specific amount of time. And it's not that we forget about it at the end of that novena, but The idea is that those 9 days of prayer, maybe I should back up because maybe some of our listeners, that word might be new to them, the word novena. Novena is a very traditional way that we as Catholics pray. We novena comes from the word, meaning 9 days. So we pray in 9 successive days for a particular intention. And this has its roots earliest in the coming of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost, the novena from Ascension to the coming of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost is really that first novena that the apostles and our Blessed Mother held as they awaited the coming of the Holy Spirit. And we now have taken that in many other devotional ways. There's very popular novenas now, the novena to Saint Joseph, the novena to Divine Mercy. One of my favorites, the Christmas novena, as we pray from December 16th leading up to December 25th. So the idea, Cecilia, is that we can pray for those 9 days. And then it's not that we forget about it or just disregard it completely after that, but we don't necessarily incorporate that those prayers into our daily regimen from that point on. Because then if we did that, every novena we practiced would then add to our daily prayers and it would be, our days would become pretty crowded that way. So instead, what we do is we take the blessings of that, we take the intentions we offered during that novena, offer them to the Lord, and then we see how the Lord works in our life. But I do believe, Cecilia, we have to allow the Lord to work. Our lives should be different after a novena. Maybe not by adding a bunch of prayers, but our faith should be increased, our hope should be greater, and our love should be more manifest in our life.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, you bet. My pleasure. Thanks for calling, Cecilia. Always good to hear from San Antonio. You're listening to the Patrick Madrid Show. It's Father Matthew Spencer sitting in for Patrick this week as he's enjoying some time with family and friends. We'll take a quick time out here. 888-914-9149 is the number to call. 888-914-9149. We'd be happy to take your call. I'll be right back after this.
Notre Dame Federal Credit Union is a member of the Catholic Credit Unions of America. You can find more information and your local Catholic Credit Union at relevantradio.com/banking.
Get connected to the conversation. Call now, 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. Patrick Madrid is on now. Relevant Radio.
Welcome back to the Patrick Madrid Show. It's Father Matthew Spencer, blessed to be with you, sitting in for Patrick today as he is enjoying time with family. You know, Cyrus, before we go back to the phones, you know what I'm a sucker for? I'm a sucker for those. Don't take this the wrong way, okay? Are you colorblind by any chance?
Depends on who you ask.
Oh, really? So I don't think I'm colorblind. I've never been shown to be. I've never had trouble discerning colors. But my father is. And I love those videos where colorblind people will put on glasses that help them see colors better. You know what I'm talking about?
I thought you were going to talk about is the dress blue or is it yellow?
Oh, well, that's interesting too, but that's a different different phenomenon. No, these are glasses, I'm sure, made by certain companies that they're very expensive, but they help people who are colorblind, who have trouble seeing certain frequencies, to see more vivid colors. And then almost invariably, when the videos that I've seen anyway, people who are colorblind put these glasses on and they're amazed, they're overwhelmed, and then pretty soon they're kind of falling apart because they're seeing the world in a new way. They're seeing colors, that distinctions in colors that they had never seen before. And they're almost always responding, "This is how you see the world? This is all of you who aren't colorblind see the world?" Somebody sent me a video like that yesterday, and And I watch them all, you know, because for me, they're, what happens is I think this is what's going to happen in the beatific vision. We're going to look at Jesus and say, that's what this was all about. This is what I was missing. Anyway, I see it now. Yeah, exactly. Like all those shades of meaning and shades of understanding that I couldn't see before now become crystal clear, not to mention the beauty of God himself present right before us. So I hope that that's what's happening in our lives. We're going to go back to the phones. 888-914-9149 is the number to call if you want to get in on the conversation. We can field your questions on scripture, on apologetics, on the faith, on, well, your life troubles and challenges. That's what we're here for. Let's go to Vera calling from Covina, California. Hello, Vera. Welcome to the Patrick Madrid Show.
Hi, Father. Thank you so much for taking my call. And we miss you very much.
Oh, thanks. I miss you too.
My question is regarding penance, sacrifice, and fasting and reparation. So I have some trouble making the difference. And so can I offer my fasting as a penance, as a sacrifice, a reparation? And do you have any books that I can read? And can I explain a little bit?
Yeah, sure. So these disciplines that you describe are all closely related. Sacrifice, penance, fasting, reparation. These are all forms of self-denial that we as Catholics will practice. We do this because Jesus himself affirmed these practices. You can read Matthew 6, for example, and he says that fasting is good, prayer is good, almsgiving is good. These are, we have to do it with the right intentions and in the right way, but Jesus really affirms and by his very example shows us the importance of self-denial and particularly of fasting. The differences between these they're not small, but they're all interconnected. So fasting, we deny our appetite and we experience hunger in order to direct our deeper hunger towards God and clarify how disordered our desires can be in the world. We give alms so that we can be detached from money. We practice penance so that we can increase our self-denial and be detached from earthly satisfactions. Reparation, Vera, is the one that's a little bit different, has a slightly different shade of meaning here, because reparation is a participation in the communion of saints and in the salvific work of Jesus. When we do a penance on behalf of another person, when we say particular prayers on behalf of offenses of others, what we are doing is participating in the cross of Christ. And just as Jesus laid down his life for our salvation, our prayers and our efforts in spiritual discipline, when applied to the offenses of others or to the good of others, has an effect. Why? Because God put us into his the body of Christ, put us into his church, and so we can support and help each other by our penances. So that's just an overview of these very important spiritual disciplines. And really, Vera, I'm glad that you're mentioning them, because we live in a world where people think that sacrifice is no longer necessary. People think, oh, that's an antiquated idea. Just the medieval saints did that. Now I can kick back on my recliner, watch Netflix, and don't have to worry about my salvation. And that way I'd say, no, 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 far from it. You and I have to be aware of those evil desires that well up within us, and we have to order our lives well. Your second question, though, about books and resources. You know, really, the best book I could offer you is the Bible. Well, the Bible is a collection of books, to be honest, but Holy Scripture has so much in the way of penance, has so much in the way of of understanding better what sacrifice is about. And just reading the Gospels, for example, Vera, we see the sacrifice of Jesus, his own fasting, his own self-denial. We see his crucifixion. And that is, in my opinion, the most powerful resource to meditate on for us to understand sacrifice and penance better. And here's the thing. I know sometimes we go to maybe books that seem more accessible where they might have reflections about this in our modern language. But I think the power of the scriptures in this area is going to really be applicable to this question in your life. Because when we struggle with, say, practicing self-denial or exercising these disciplines, the example of Jesus, the words of the prophets in the Old Testament really help us to understand the role of sacrifice and penance.
Because when I think in Centeress, she offered little things, right? Mm-hmm. So I can offer any little thing for sacrifice for somebody or for my penance.
Absolutely. So okay. You don't have to. I think this is a really good clarification that I'm glad you're bringing up, because I think we sometimes imagine those sacrifices have to be 40 days of fasting in the wilderness, as Jesus did before he began his public ministry, or nothing but bread for a week, and nothing but bread and water, I should say, for a week, which these are very extreme, sometimes unhealthy, sometimes dangerous forms of self-denial, depending on our state in life. And the saints really remind us that it's not about doing things that are dramatic and big to the world's eyes, but rather doing the things that we can with great love. So Saint Therese of Lisieux discovered that just bearing the simple exercises of self-denial in her convent were going to help her immensely. So she would. One of the famous examples in the life of Saint Therese of Lisieux is they would be washing their sheets and their garments and things like this, and they would do this in community. They'd be using washboards of some sort, and water would be splashing around, and one of her sisters next to her was being rather careless and maybe inconsiderate, or at least wasn't noticing that the dirty water that she was using was kept splashing on Saint Therese of Lisieux, and Therese could have chastised her or you know called her out on this, but instead she chose to say, "I'm going to offer this little sacrifice up." And sometimes it's those little things that are even harder to offer up, aren't they? Sometimes it's those little things that are difficult.
I know. Yeah.
So there can certainly be. Yeah. Thank you for calling. I think it's a really important clarification that you're adding, that we don't have to go out and find these extreme forms of mortification or of penance, of self-denial in our life. We can find little acts which have great benefit in our spiritual life if we do them with the right intention and with love. Thanks a lot, Vera. Happy Thanksgiving to you.
Thank you. You too. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Oh, thank you. Bye-bye now. Yeah, there are lots of saints, in fact, that talk about the importance of self-denial in the ordinary means. I know Patrick himself is a big fan of Saint Francis de Sales and the Introduction to the Devout Life, which is probably his most popular book. It's a great book that describes the movement of grace in our life, the response that we need to have as human beings, but also in a way that makes it very accessible to us as Christians. It's why Saint Francis de Sales is a doctor of the church, because he takes these lofty spiritual ideals, this spiritual calling that we have, but also puts it in ways that are accessible for you and for me. We don't have to go out in search of extreme self-denial. We can find those opportunities for sanctification in our normal everyday life. So we'll go to Nanette calling from Winchester, Virginia. Hello, Nanette. Welcome to the Patrick Madrid Show.
Hi, Father Spencer. Thanks for having me. I'm just calling because someone was asking about saint books, and I used a couple written by Joan Wyndham, and they're called 60 Saints for Girls, and the other one's 60 Saints for Boys. And they're just, they're really easy to read. They, all the little stories with start with Once Upon a Time, and they have like a little bit, like sometimes little funny things in the way she describes it. Very nice storytelling.
Oh, great. So, well, thanks for that recommendation. Yeah. I'm not familiar with it myself, but if
yeah,
it's...
Yeah, you can get
it
at Amazon, but also at angelicopress.org. I see it. It's still for sale.
Okay.
At a Christian or Catholic place. Okay? Thank you,
Father. Well, thanks, Nanette. Thanks for the recommendation. Yeah, I love those books, Nanette, that make the saints' lives accessible to children. You know, I think this is very important because the earlier that we become aware of the lives of the saints in our own lives, the more our hearts will be inspired to follow them, right? The more we'll be inspired to imitate them. So thanks for that recommendation. I hope that listener that called in was still listening and might find some benefit from that book as well.
Thank you, Father. God bless you.
Okay. God bless you too. And a very happy Thanksgiving to you, Nanette. 888-914-9149 is the number to call. We have a few open lines here. We'd love to have you. Before we take our next break, why don't we go to Liz calling from East Moline, Illinois. Hello, Liz. Welcome to the Patrick Madrid Show.
Hello, Father. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
Father, my question is, periodically I've spoken to people that, you know, well, recently just that are dying. You know, they've been given just a few weeks, or I've also talked to people that have lost loved ones. And these are a lot of times are people that are not Catholic, or if they are Catholic, they don't believe in purgatory. And I don't want to, you know, just be the negative one about, oh, they're going to go to purgatory, you know, they got to do this and that. I want to give them some kind of hope. And I just wondered if there was anything you could suggest that I could say.
Yeah, you know, I think it was Father Groeschel who would talk about purgatory in a way that he was saying, oh, I can't wait to go to purgatory. I want to go to purgatory because I don't want to go before the Lord until I'm completely purified. And even if I died now, I would feel that there's a lot of purification that needs to happen in my life. I think this is the important thing that, as important as it is for us to believe in purgatory, when somebody's at the nearing death, what's important is not so much their theological understanding of what happens after death, but rather their own repentance and their own contrition, their own turning away from their sins and their openness to receive the sacraments. So I would focus on those aspects of it. I would focus on the need that we have to repent, the need that we have for God's love, the blessings of being purified in this life, but also even in the next life, and then in helping people realize that this is a desire, as Father Groeschel would say, we don't want to go to God until we are completely purified of every aspect, every influence of sin in our life. And I don't know about you, Liz. To me, after my short decades here on this earth, it's hard for me to even imagine being completely detached from sin because, well, this is the world we live in, and original sin just has its grip on us here. And I like the idea of us having an opportunity to be purified in a much deeper way before we have to go to the Lord and see Him face to face. I think communicating it in that way to somebody makes it more understandable from a human standpoint, from an experiential standpoint, for us to realize, I want to be purified before I see God, and purgatory is a blessing that God gives us to be purified in the right way before Him.
That's great. That's kind of what I did try to say. But on the other hand, then, Father, what about people that have lost loved ones? You know, and they'll say, well, you know, they're up in heaven, they're seeing this person and that person. And, you know, is there anything that I could say to that, or should I just go along with it and be happy for them? Because, I mean, after all, it's over with, you know. And I don't want to discourage them by saying, well, you know, he might not be in heaven yet. You know what
yeah,
I mean?
That's true. You don't want to discourage people, but I really hope that when I die, people don't just say, oh, he's looking down on us from heaven. We won't worry about him. I hope that people are offering masses
because
for
we
me.
Need the prayers.
Are praying. Yeah, exactly. So I think this is, Liz, we always have to be really, really attentive to what other people are ready to hear, to what other people are ready to receive. St. Mm-hmm. Thomas Aquinas would talk about how everything that is communicated is received in the mode of the receiver. So we as human beings, sure. when God speaks to us, we receive it through our own lens of our human experience. And we have to remember that when we talk to other people, when we evangelize other people, they're also hearing our words and the good news through their own experience and the lens of life experience that they have. And that can be good, it can be bad as well, but we need to just take that into consideration as we're trying to share the good news with them. So I wouldn't give up on it. I wouldn't, because to me, this is an important thing. We are, as we were talking about a few moments ago, we're in the communion of saints. We're in this project together. We need to challenge each other, and when we die, we also need to pray for those who go before us. But if they're not ready to hear that yet, then maybe what we work on are other areas so they understand that purgatory is really a gift from God. It's a blessing. It's not just just this old, outdated idea.
Yeah,
exactly. It's not just God wanting to wreak his wrath upon us. It's his love poured out upon us, right?
And his mercy, yes, yes. Thank you so much. That was a wonderful answer. I appreciate it. Thanks so much, Father.
Okay, great. Thanks so much, Liz. We're going to take a quick time out, but I hope you can take a moment to give us a call, 888-914-9149. You're listening to The Patrick Madrid Show. We'll be right back.
Hey, there's a line open, so now is your opportunity to ask Patrick a question by calling 888-914-9149.
You have a special place in God's plan for the world. Learning about Christ's role in history can change your life and strengthen your faith. Right now, get free access to Christendom College's online history class at principalsclasses.com/Madrid.
Keeping it relevant. It's the Patrick Madrid Show on Relevant Radio. Join the conversation at 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. Patrick Madrid is on Coast to Coast on Relevant Radio.
Very good morning to you. It's Father Matthew Spencer sitting in for Patrick today. Hey, if you need a way to help you prepare for Christmas, Relevant Radio has your back. Discover the beauty of Advent with Charles Dickens' A Christmas Carol, beloved by all of us, brought to you by the Merry Beggars at Relevant Radio. With 25 professional actors, it's the first of its kind audio Advent calendar. You can get new episodes of A Christmas Carol daily from December 1st all the way through December 25th. You can experience a Christmas classic the way it was intended to be told by Charles Dickens himself in 1843. London. You can find more info if you go to relevantradio.com. There's a big banner there that'll let you sign up for this this special production. Or also, of course, at the Relevant Radio app on your mobile device, you can sign up that way. And I'm really looking forward to it. I think it's going to be a great tool in Advent for us to prepare for Christmas. And hey, we all love a Christmas Carol. We all love Charles Dickens, for that matter. So. Okay, let's jump back to the phones. 888-914-9149 is the number to call if you want to join the conversation. We have Yared calling from Washington, D.C. Hello, welcome to the Patrick Madrid Show.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I just want to make a couple of comments before I ask my question. Mm-hmm. Just to give you a preface, I just wanted to say that during my early childhood, I came from an Ethiopian Orthodox church then in South Africa. Mm-hmm. I went to a Catholic school, and finally in the U.S. I went to a Protestant church according to my mom's beliefs. Mm-hmm. The other comment is because of some certain amounts of trauma, I was taken into mental health clinics and hospitals, and I just want to let people know, if there are any listening, that there's hope yet. And I just feel like there's a fire in my belly that, you know, even if I don't overcome the illness, that God will make something good out of it.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Well, thank you for that background, Yared. Yeah, I mean, what an important testimony. God can always bring great good out of our suffering.
You never
sorrow.
Know who's listening, right? So
it's true,
you know,
yeah.
Maybe somebody might be contemplating, you know, suicide, things like that, which is never the answer.
No, it isn't. There's always hope,
song.
Right? Yeah. Did you have a question? Yeah.
I did. My question was, Let me. I had a specific question, but I'm going to move to something different. In the church, God, can you come back to me?
Yeah. Why don't you gather your thoughts, Yared? That's okay. Why don't you take a moment to see what the Lord is going to inspire you to say. 888-914-9149 is the number to call if you want to join the conversation. We have a few lines open. We could go to Joyce in El Monte, California. Hi, Joyce. Welcome to the Patrick Madrid Show. Oh, excuse me. There you go, Joyce. Sorry, I'm having trouble getting you on the air.
Yes.
Go ahead.
Okay. I was on speakerphone, then I took it off. Okay. I have a question. Have masses said for people when they pass away, even if they're not even Christian, if they're just, you know, and I was wondering, and they've never been offended, the families have never been offended by me doing that, but is that something we should do? I'm just...
Yeah, absolutely, Joyce. So let's step back and look at what the church teaches about Mass and Mass intentions. There are no restrictions on who the Mass can be offered for. They don't have to be baptized. They don't have to be Catholic. We can offer the Mass for any person in that sense. And this is important. Why? Because we don't know the workings of salvation in people's lives in very hidden ways. Even those who maybe from our perception, you know, didn't accept the teachings of Jesus or didn't know Jesus, they still can be moved by His grace, and because of God's mercy, He can still effect salvation and redemption in their lives. So Mass intentions are not reserved only for people who are Catholic or who are in the church. You know, I hope that nobody would be offended for having a Mass offered for them, because we as Catholics see this as probably the greatest benefit that our friends could do for us, right? To have a Mass said, that's the most powerful form of prayer. It's the most power-packed form of grace that we can receive. So I know that some people would have a maybe not want to be affiliated with our faith or with our devotion, but I hope that they wouldn't be offended because of that. And it's still efficacious. It's still effective for us to offer Masses for those who might not have been Catholic, might not even have known that we're offering the Masses for them. Does that get to your question, Joyce?
Oh, very much, because I've been doing it a long time, and I don't know why this morning it was like, one of my friends' aunt has passed away, and she, I don't think, was affiliated with any religion. And I don't know why it just all of a sudden struck me. I've done it before without even thinking about it. And I guess because I listened to you guys for, 3 years now, you're making me think more.
Oh, praise God. That's always important and always helpful, right? Well, thanks, Joyce. Thanks for the...
Extremely.
Yeah. You know, one more thing, Joyce. It's as a priest, I see some churches receive a lot of Mass intentions, and some churches don't. Some priests, in fact, are struggling to get intentions for the Masses that they celebrate. This is especially true in missionary territory, where maybe the people are not as much aware of this possibility of having Masses said, or maybe it's because of poverty. People aren't necessarily, don't have the means to offer a small amount to the church for Mass intentions. I think it's important that we get the word out to people that Mass is happening every day all around the world. It's happening many times in your local parish every day. And this is a resource that we have to tap into as Catholics. This is a resource that you and I have to avail ourselves of for the good of souls that have gone before us, right? So I'm glad that you mentioned it, because I hope that people will be more inclined to consider having masses said for their loved ones. We know that this is an important part of helping those who are part of the church suffering in purgatory and need to be freed from that.
So thank you very much. I usually, a lot of times, I donate to different missions, and a lot, and they always send me cards. Oh my gosh. I think the mailman doesn't like me. But what I do is they send me mass cards, and I save as many as I can. And a lot of times I'll use that, because our parish, a lot of times, a lot of people do use the masses, and it's so far away. And this is more when they get it, then I know it's put in a pile of other people, but it's there, and that's all I care about.
Yeah. Yeah, that's great. And I think what is important, Joyce, too, just I know that experience also happens in churches. Maybe your parish church doesn't have a lot of intentions for coming up very soon. Maybe your office is booked for masses into next year. We don't have to be present at that mass in order for it to be effective. It helps us emotionally when we hear our loved one mentioned in the general intercessions, or when we know that we can be at that mass. But I think more important is that mass is actually said, right? More important is that those masses are being said, so we can send those off to other parishes or even to the missions far away. So thanks, Joyce. A very happy Thanksgiving to you.
Oh, thank you. You too. Okay.
Thanks. God bless you now. Take care. 888-914-9149 is the number to call. I think we might have time to go to the phones again before we take a quick time out. How about we go to Stan in Atlantic City? Hi, Stan. Welcome to the Patrick Madrid Show.
Yes, Father. I wanted to ask you I know how to make a good confession, but how can you do it without being too scrupulous? And I'm not presumptive. You know, trying to be in the state of grace. And I know as I got older, I say my rosary every day, which is good. But then when you think back on your life, you'll say, oh, why did I do such foolish things before? And like last time, I went to confession, I says, Father, he says, I'm trying to just make it to purgatory. He said, aim for heaven. But I just wanted to know that if how do you know you're doing enough good to, please God and, to do the right thing?
Wow, this is a good topic, Stan, and it's challenging, isn't it? This is my experience as a priest. We sin. We repent of that sin. We go to confession, but then over time, and especially with maybe offenses that hurt us or others quite deeply, with time, we start to see that sin in a new way. We see how those sins hurt us more deeply than we even realized. And unfortunately, what can happen is we start to feel bad about sins already confessed. We start to feel bad about, the offenses that we know have been forgiven by the Lord, but because of our human awareness of them and God maybe making us more open to seeing them clearly, then we feel bad about them. I think what's important is that we continue to live in God's mercy. We continue to trust in the teachings of the church. So the church says that I'm forgiven of my sins. I have to hang on to that. I have to believe that. If a particular sin from the past is really troubling me, then I can mention it to the priest. But I should say, I this is in my past. This happened a long time ago. I've made many confessions since then, but I feel like I need some more healing from it. This is what happened. And the priest will take that also to the mercy of God and help your own mind to be healed. But there is this hard balance, isn't there, Stan, between trusting in God's mercy, being thorough in our confession, but also not falling into scrupulosity, not falling into despair about the awareness of our own sins. And I think it happens With practice, it happens with us trusting in the teachings of Jesus. Does that sound good, Stan?
Yes, Father. Thank you. And you all do a great job. There's not one day I didn't learn anything new and, you know, something new about my Catholic faith listening to the Relevant Radio. It's great.
Oh, I'm with you on that, Stan. Not a day goes by when I don't learn something new here on Relevant Radio. Thanks so much. A very happy Thanksgiving to you. I think we could go to Patricia real quick from San Diego. Hi, Patricia. Welcome to the Patrick Madrid Show.
Hi, Father Spencer. I just wanted to tell you how much when I turned the radio on this morning, I enjoyed hearing your voice. I love listening to Patrick Madrid, but you have such a calming and such a way of reaching out to people. So thank you very much.
Oh, Patricia, that's so kind of you. Thank you. A very happy Thanksgiving to you. God bless you.
Thank you.
Yeah, my friends, what a blessing. It's so humbling to hear somebody like Patricia when I turn on the radio, I want to hear Patrick Madrid. I don't want to hear my raspy voice out there talking. But on the other hand, we're all in this together, aren't we? We're all supporting each other, striving to support one another in this walk, in this journey with the Lord. And I'm blessed to be with you, to be honest. We have a lot more coming up on the Patrick Madrid Show still here. We have Jody from Las Vegas. If you could hang on, we'll get to you very soon. Wow, 1 hour in the books, first hour, a couple more to come. Don't go anywhere. I'm Father Matthew Spencer sitting in for Patrick. 888-914-9149 is the number to call. I'll be back right after this.